Welcome to week four of Walking with My Redeemer. We've had a week break, so I want to just do a quick little recap of where we've been from Judah to Moab with that family who took off, the dad, the mom, the two sons. They got to Moab, this boy's married, all the men died. 10 years went by, and Naomi decided to return back to Judah with the two daughter-in-laws, and then along the way, they had a little conversation, and she encouraged them to turn back. And Orpah did turn back, went back to Moab, but Ruth persevered, and she had that beautiful little speech in the desert. Don't entreat me to leave you. Your people are going to be my people. Your God is going to be my God. Where you stay, that's where I'm going to stay. And so we got to last week's lesson, which was chapter 2. And as it turned out, she found herself gleaning in the fields of Boaz. And she gleaned. He took notice of her. He made a connection with her. He invited her to lunch that day, and he told her, stay right here. It's safe here. Stay here. And the implication is we'll get to know each other, right? But I loved that little phrase that we pointed out, as it turned out, and we prayed about, many of you made mention of it to me, that you were praying for divine appointments like that, divine appointments that were of the Lord. And I was sharing with Anne on our way back from retreat. We were just talking about philosophy for Bible study and that. And I said, one thing that I love about this model of Bible study that we have is we build a common vocabulary. All the ladies at Calvary Chapel, you know, a lot of churches do, you know, a dozen different kinds of Bible studies, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't have the skill set to oversee that. We study one thing in multiple locations, multiple little groups. One thing I love about that is we're building a common vocabulary. And so when we say to somebody, you know, that, you know, I got to retreat and I was in my cabin, and as it turned out, you know, we know what it is that we're talking about. We know where we've been in Scripture, and we can see the beauty of how God works in our life through the filter of Scripture. And so, anyway, so in chapter 2, we were introduced to this important concept of the kinsman redeemer. Boaz was mentioned 3 times as either a close relative or a redeemer. And we got the idea that the story was going to move to focus more on Boaz now than on Ruth, because we realized right away that he was going to be the one that was going to be able to do something for these poor widows that had come back to Judah. So this week, speaking of vocabulary, I want to just give a short little statement of what a redeemer is. And a redeemer can be described simply as a male relative who, according to various laws found in the Pentateuch, had the privilege or the responsibility to act for a relative who is in trouble, in danger, or in need of vindication. If you went through your study guide, those scriptures were pointed out to you, and you were able to go and read those and find out what a redeemer was all about. And then I also liked that quote that I'd put in there from Manners and Customs of Bible Lands. I thought that that was really concise. So we don't have trouble connecting the dots, and we can see the punchline as New Testament believers. We totally already get it, that Boaz is to Ruth as Jesus is to us, right? That Boaz is Ruth's redeemer. He is that close relative of the same bloodline who had the privilege to act on behalf of someone who was in need. And we know, as believing Christians, that Jesus is our redeemer, that close relative. In fact, Galatians 4:4-5 says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law. He is of the same race as we are. He is a close relative of ours. God could have done redemption a different way, but he didn't make Jesus like the angels. He made him a little lower than the angels. He made him like us so that we could see this beauty. And he redeems us in our trouble, in our need of vindication for sin. So there's the end of the story. Now let's go back and look at the beauty of the story as we go through it. And I want to take this, what you studied this week, in 3 parts. What Naomi wants, what Ruth wants, and what Boaz wants. Okay? Naomi wants rest for the girls, for Ruth. Ruth wants to be married. She wants to be covered in marriage. And Boaz wants to be useful as a redeemer. So let's start with verse 1 and start reading the passage. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, meaning Ruth, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he's winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies, and then go, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." So again, we said Naomi's goal for her daughter-in-laws was stated back in our first chapter in verse 9. She had told them, "The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." She wanted them to be cared for, to have someone look after their well-being, to have someone provide for them, protect them. These were her markers for rest, and they're good markers for rest. In the natural story, this is happening through marriage. Ruth would find that rest through marriage. And it's a beautiful picture. In our culture, marriage is so twisted and misunderstood that it's difficult for us to maybe process that. Maybe that hasn't been your experience, or you haven't seen that as an experience in the broken world that we live in. But God's intention for marriage was that it would be a picture, a symbol of the union of the church and Christ. And so it's easy for us to go through, if we have a biblical understanding, to see that Naomi wanting her daughter-in-law to find rest, to be married, that's how she was going to find rest. And in a perfect world, can you imagine with me a perfect world for just a moment? Can we not see that a woman becoming married to a man who is going to protect her, provide for her, love her, give that sense of security? In a perfect world, we can see, yeah, that's the goal. That's what we would want. But we don't live in a perfect world, so it's not that easy. But we are still going to make spiritual parallels to that for us to find our eternal rest. In the same way, for us to find our eternal rest, we seek to be joined to that one who can provide that for us. Alone, independently, on our own, we cannot have that. We must be joined to Jesus Christ in order to have our eternal rest. Let's look at Ruth's response in verse 5. So she replied to Naomi, "All that you say, I will do." And she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. So meanwhile, when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And at midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And now we begin Boaz and Ruth's interchange together. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." So the first words out of Boaz's mouth are, "Who are you?" And when I see that, I like to think that it's not a matter of recognition, like he didn't know who she was. It's not like, "Who are you?" I feel like it's a little bit more like, "I know exactly why you're here. Tell me who you are." You know, it was for her to say to him who she was. And she says to him, "I'm Ruth, your servant." Okay? It was a purposeful question and answer. And Ruth needed to explain what her perspective of herself was, because he knew why she was there and what she needed. The only words we hear Ruth say in this whole evening exchange are this sentence here: "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. You know, at the beginning of this study, I said that I felt like the book of Ruth was the gospel in one book out of 66 of the Bible. And I feel like this verse is the gospel out of one verse out of 85 in the book of Ruth. And here's why. I think it has all the elements of salvation. So first, in the natural, she is just saying to Boaz, she's saying, I'm Ruth, I'm your servant. She says, spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. It's a proposal of marriage. She's basically saying, would you marry me? Would you cover me? Would you allow me to be joined with you? That's what's going on in the natural. But one of my favorite concepts in Scripture is that of being covered. We're going to move right to the spiritual and what it means for us, okay? Being covered. Boaz suggested this metaphor of being covered first back when we were in the field. When he met Ruth, and remember he pronounced that blessing on her, and he said to her in verse 12, a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. He looked at her. He knew why she had come to Judah. And he said, may God be gracious to you, God, the God under whose wings you have come to take refuge. You came to shelter under the wings of God. May he actually do that for you. Boaz was sharp and insightful, and he knew that Ruth had come to Judah to find God, to live, dwell, and function under the wings, under the covering of God. And that is where she was going to find her refuge, her shelter, her protection, her haven, her sanctuary. But there was no possible way for her to find that rest with the God of Jehovah unless she sheltered under the covering of someone who already possessed that. See, she would never become an Israelite unless she sheltered under the specific wings of someone who actually was. Without being covered, she was still going to be an outsider. She was still going to be a gleaner. She was still going to be a Moabite. And she needed to get inside. So she says to him, would you spread your wings over me? The specific person that could act so that she would become part of God's people. I love how the ESV says it that way. Would you spread your wings over me? Some of the others, would you spread the corner of your garment over me? If you have different translations, there's quite a variety. But what I love about the word wings is that it matches what Boaz said to her back in chapter 2. You've come to shelter under the wings of Jehovah. And it's somewhat poetic. We might know Psalms that talk about sheltering under his wings and things like that. So I just love the illustration. I'm glad. But this request, this verse, has the whole package. Ruth explained who she was. Again, I'm Ruth, your servant. Who he was, she declared who Boaz was. For you are a redeemer. And then she asked her request. Would you cover me? Would you cover me? She's talking about marriage, but let's make our spiritual connection. And I loved how Amy, I had to write down the word phrase in the song that she sang this morning. Here I am, covered by the blood of the Lamb. There's only two kinds of people in the world. We're either covered by the blood of the Lamb, or we're not covered by the blood of the Lamb. And isn't it beautiful how throughout Scripture we see this same idea of covering. It started with the lamb on the doorpost, the blood of the lamb on the doorpost as they were leaving Egypt. They were either covered or they were not covered. If they were covered, they lived. If they were not covered, the firstborn perished, right? So I like this concept of covering. So Ruth declares who she is in this midnight episode. She's needy. She's the sinner. She's the one in spiritual trouble, the one not at rest, the one from Moab, the one gleaning. She says, I am uncovered. And she declares who he is. He's the redeemer. He's the one close relative able to redeem her from the dark side, the one who is able to cover her. And then she explains her request simply to be covered. And for us, what it looks like is to have our stain of sin covered so that when God looks at us, He sees Jesus. He sees the covering that we possess. He sees his son, and he's pleased with his son, and he no longer sees our sin. He merely sees the covering. That's why I think that this sentence is the gospel in a nutshell. It's really quite simple. And my heart is that we'd all really be prepared to express it that simply. When we come to Christ to be covered, to be saved, we just have to know who we are. We have to believe and admit that we're a sinner. We have to know who Jesus is. We have to believe and admit that he is the one Redeemer, the only one able to cover. And then we have to simply ask. And you know, in any universe, laying at someone's feet is a little humbling. Like, that is not, that's not how our world works. We have to lay down our pride. Our pride is what will stop us short from that exchange right there. But look at her posture. She comes and she lays at the feet of the one who is able to redeem. There is no pride associated with that. That is a humble place. And don't we need to come humbly to God and say, I will be lost without you. I am at your feet. So you must cover me, or all hope is lost. That's why I love this picture. There's another little study in the two approaches that I want to point out to you. And those of you who are at retreat, we talked quite a bit about it at retreat as well. But I love in this story, now that we've done both chapter 2 and part of 3, who approaches whom first? Ruth is gleaning in the field, and is it not Boaz that comes to her first? And we mentioned that passage from John that says, Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit. Boaz seeks out Ruth first in the field, makes sure she understands who he is, and makes a connection and says, stay right here. Stay right here. The implication again is we can get to know each other if you stay here. Boaz chooses Ruth first. God chooses us first. He makes sure that we know and understand. But that's not all that's necessary. Then in this passage, Ruth chooses Boaz. She comes independently at night. She comes to him humbly, lays at his feet, and says, would you cover me? We must have both sides of the transaction in order to have a joining. And in our experience in life, God will come to us and make sure that we have some idea of who he is. But we must, just like Ruth, go to him and choose him back. After he's chosen us, we must choose him back. We must come humbly. We must lay down our pride. We must stop gleaning in the field. Ruth could have stayed in the fields and gleaned her little heart away and worked herself and stayed independent and just like, I don't need a man to make me, you know, maybe that's not the best. But, you know, it fits, doesn't it? It fits. She could have made that choice, even though Boaz had paid attention to her. She didn't have to, but she followed Naomi's instructions, and she humbled herself and said, I want you. I need you. And do we not, maybe that's been our experience. Maybe some of you have been in the fields for years before you finally made that choice to choose God back. But you know, some people, even filling up our churches, they're still in the field. They have not laid down their pride to come to Jesus and say, I'm the sinner, you're the Redeemer, I have no hope of eternal rest without you. Would you cover me? And God just lets them stay. They know about Boaz, they know about Jesus, they can talk, maybe they even teach Sunday school. But they've never made that humble choice to be at his feet and to say, I'm lost without you. So I like that about this story. So I want to just pause for just a minute and ask now, in your study time, how is your personal story of redemption coming? You know, this is our project for this year. I want you each to write out your personal story of redemption. It has to start back here, and you have to say, am I covered? First, you have to ask yourself the question, am I covered? Have I, like Ruth, done, chosen God back. So if you haven't, if you're not covered, then this morning's a good time. Just do it. Like, there's no reason not to. Who wouldn't want that, right? If you are covered, you're certain that you're covered, then you have a story. You have a story about how that happened. And what we're trying to do in our project this year is call that down to 3 minutes so that you can have it in your mind and in your heart and be prepared to share that story with someone. Ruth's story had things to do with Moab and barley and the threshing floor. Bet none of you have those elements in your story, right? Okay, my story has a little bit more to do with almost divorced Christian concert and bossy girl that told me, you know, I needed to, that we need to go to church. That's part of my story, but they're all different. So I want to encourage you as we really see Ruth's story of being covered here to don't delay, work on your story. And Anne is going to select some of you the last week that we're together, which I'm not going to be able to be here for, but some of you are going to be able to share. So don't worry, like don't let your little heart pound. She's not going to stand up here and say, you, come up here. You'll know ahead of time. So you can all come and just enjoy. But that's really important for us to process. What is my story? So let's finish the scripture. Boaz's response then, verse 10, and he said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first in that you have not gone after younger men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman, especially if you've been at retreat. Don't you love those three words? Do not fear. So they really caught my attention as I was preparing for this morning. And it was a sub-theme at retreat. But we might ask the question, well, what's to fear? Like, what would there be to fear? But as, again, I said, it takes a humility to come to Christ. And there are things that we can fear. For example, some might fear that they're not worthy. I'm not worthy enough. Well, the study of Ruth should explain that away, right? Certainly, she was an outsider. She didn't even belong to Israel. And so that's not the point. We need to come to Christ and say, I am a sinner. Of course I'm not worthy. Some people might fear that they've done too many bad things, or in their mind, whatever sin they have committed were the biggies. But we can throw that one aside, because does God already not know all of that? He knows all. And the word tells us that all are welcome. He will cover anyone who comes. We might fear that we will just let him down again. That one, I feel like, you know, isn't it funny with fears? Your fears are illegitimate fears. My fears are legitimate, right? Don't we all feel that way? But this one does resonate with me just a little bit, because I guess I do have a little bit of a fear of failure, so maybe it resonates with you. You know, afraid to do something because I can't hold to the standard. But Boaz says, do not fear. Don't let that. We'll deal with that later. We'll walk across those paths later. Fear that maybe we missed our chance, and now we're afraid to ask. Lots of things. And in your study guide, there are some scriptures on fear, at day 4. And maybe you can turn to some of those and discuss them together. And then there's also some great New Testament passages about how Jesus is our close relative who is able to save. And so I pray that you really have great discussion. But we have one verse left, and it is the dun-dun-dun-dun verse, right? 12. And Boaz, all of a sudden, he goes, well, now it's true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. And with that, we'll just have a little cliffhanger until next week, right? Father, thank you for such a beautiful picture of the simplicity of our salvation. Lord, would you help us just to glory in that, to revel in that, to praise you for that, and to hold that picture as such a simple understanding as we might find ourselves dialoguing with someone that you bring along our path that needs to understand that it's such a simple matter of recognizing we're a sinner, knowing that Jesus is the only possible one to make us pleasing in your sight, to give us eternal rest, and simply asking, Jesus, would you cover me by your blood, the blood of the Lamb that covers and identifies me as belonging to you. Lord, help us to just hold that close and dear to our hearts and protect us from the enemy snatching that simple understanding away from us or perverting that in any way. We want to simply follow you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.